Chicago Blackhawks goalie, Corey Crawford.
When my vest stops the shot, it saves the game.
Chicago police officer, Alejandro Lagunas.
My vest stopped a shot from a drug dealer's gun. My vest saved my life.
One bullet can end a police officer's life or hit their vest and do nothing. Chicago cops pay for their own replacement vests out of their own pocket, $500 or more. I'm asking you to help those who help us. Visit getbehindthevest.org.
There you go right there. Our partner in crime, Corey Crawford, getting together with our other partner
nice
in
that?
Crime. Yes, it's very nice. Phil Klein, former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, is here, now executive director of the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. Mm-hmm. And Corey Crawford was good enough to sit down for an afternoon and help the organization out. The Police Memorial Foundation, that organization, not the organization of the Blackhawks, because they call themselves the organization there. They helped the CPMF out with a public service announcement for the Get Behind the Vest initiative. And Phil, I know you and I have talked about it on the show before, and I've talked about it on the show before, and you and I have done a number of public events talking about this. But let's explain what Get Behind the Vest is about in the first place.
Sure. When a police officer starts the academy, the city provides a vest. But those vests break down, sweat, heat, cold, storage, all those issues. And the manufacturers recommend that the vests be replaced after 5 years. That's on the cop to replace that. And they start at $500. So cops have got tuition, brakes for the car, all these other things that unfortunately right. come first before they have the money to buy a new vest. So this is where we stepped in and we're providing $400, and the cop is providing $100 for the vest. And so far, we've bought 6,100 vests for the department.
And is it cheaper because you're buying so many? Does it bring the cost down at all?
It brings the cost down a little bit. But the more important thing is that it's allowing the citizens and businesses of the city to show their appreciation mm-hmm. to the cops by helping the people that help them.
Absolutely.
Now, I know that. And you talk to Chicago police officers about their vests, or any kind of police officer, really. But since the organization has been doing this for the last 3 years, I think, Get Behind the Vest started?
Two years ago.
And there was, and I think there was a lot of misunderstanding, even amongst Chicago coppers, about how safe their vests are that they had. Right, I don't think they even knew that after a number of years, you do get this breakdown because the manufacturers suggest that you lay the vest flat at mm-hmm. night or when you're not wearing it.
Right.
Right.
So if you put it in a locker or something like that, it can actually contribute to the breakdown
right.
of the material.
Right, that's correct. Because gravity takes it down away from the shoulder area and the top of the heart, essentially, which is pretty much where you need it.
You do.
Right around there. That'd be a good thing. Yeah.
Have you seen situations where officers have been shot and because they had a breakdown or a vest that was perhaps older or not quite up to the standards that it caused more problem?
I'm not aware of any police officer, but we took a 20-year-old vest, brought it down into the range when we started this initiative 2 years ago, mm-hmm. fired 5 shots at 2 went through.
Oh, wow.
So that was enough to make me realize, hey, let's get every cap to get a new vest.
This is important.
Right. And now there's 6,100 so far. How many to go?
We want to do 9. Our original goal was 8,000 vests because that would have covered the 8,000 policemen that were on 5 years or more. So we've got 1,900 vests to go. We're trying to raise 750,000. That's the goal.
And the reason for 5 years or more is because that would be the breakdown of the vest. That would be where the vest would have broken down at 5 years or more.
That's correct.
Right. Not because it's not like the rookies were not getting them because we didn't like them. They were already getting their vests to begin mm-hmm. with. Right.
Right. So, I mean, and what we're going to hope to do is continue this in the future so that all the cops that were hired 5 years ago will be eligible for new vests, you know.
Got it. And again, now Corey Crawford, it was great of him to do it because it's a perfect tie-in, right? Because he's got all that stuff coming at him every day, every night, right?
And so, he knows what that's like to be life in danger.
Yes, he understands the idea of it, and they wear protective gear, right? So that was a perfect thing for him to be involved.
In fact, when we were watching him, they were shooting pucks, and he was letting them hit his vest and fall off, and that was the idea. His vest stops a puck and saves the game. And then we had Officer Lagunas, who got shot 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. Him and his two partners were, all three of them were shot, but Officer Lagunas was hit in the vest, and the bullet didn't do anything. And they returned fire and killed the drug dealer that was shooting at him.
So what, let's talk about firepower for a second, because that's something that we seem to be hearing about more and more now. Obviously, this is as bad a year as I think domestic police work has ever seen in terms of attitude of the public at large, the political implications of everything that's going on. And now, you know, with the assassinations of police officers, the vests are, they can't stop everything, though, right? I mean, the vests that even that we're buying here are not, I mean, if you have an AK-47 full metal jacket, you're going to have a problem there, right?
Yeah, they're meant to stop handguns. Not assault rifles, not armor-piercing bullets. But for the most part, that's what you're dealing with on the street. And you bring up a good point. I looked this up before I left today. Is policemen killed in the line of duty by firearms is up 70% this year compared to last year. So, I mean, it's something that should be on everybody's mind.
That's troubling for sure. And do officers have the option to buy a different level of vest if they want to, the kind of thing? Because to the point you're talking about, we're seeing more assault weapons on the street. It's commonly talked about within the department that is something that drug dealers are getting their hands on.
Yeah.
And how does a police officer protect themselves?
The officers can upgrade the vest at their own expense. We're mm-hmm. just trying to get them. This is what's called a level 2 vest that's recognized around the country as the vest that the police officer should have, but mm-hmm. they can add more things to it.
Sort of the standard issue.
Right.
Right. It's at the lowest level. Because, no. You know, I used to see guys, when Chicago cops started wearing vests, they didn't love them, right? And they weren't demanded, it wasn't originally a standing order that they wear them. It is now.
Yes.
But it wasn't then, and the guys were doing it, and they would wear these lightweight ones that probably had very minimal protection because they're hot and they're uncomfortable.
Sure. They've come a long way in terms of technology, because I've talked to some of my friends who are older, who have been in business or have been an officer for a long time, and they say, well, you just didn't want to wear it because it just felt terrible back in the day. But they've come a long way.
Yeah, they're a lot lighter. They stop higher ballistics now, so it's a much better thing. And that's why we want to get these new vests in the hands mm-hmm. of the cops, and that's why we're asking anybody that will help us, go to getbehindthevest.org.
All right. Now, we also want to thank Wintrust, because this is pretty amazing. Wintrust, Chicago's bank, Matt Doubleday, who's the marketing director at Wintrust, and then Ed Wehmer, who's the poobah there. You're going to see them a lot on the Olympic coverage starting Friday on Channel 5. And they were very kind in giving this organization, Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, I'm proud to say I'm a member of the associate board of it, that they're giving us a number of their commercials that they paid for their own company. They're giving to us to run this commercial with Corey Crawford. So that's pretty great.
Yeah, we're appreciative of what they've done. It's great. And the Blackhawks. I mean, the Blackhawks started out today, besides letting Corey Crawford do this, pledged $5,000 today at the press conference.
That is amazing. Right. The other thing the Blackhawks did, which was, I think, very cool, was they set aside a part of his schedule when he was back in Chicago around the time of the convention, mm-hmm. the Blackhawks convention, for him to come in and do this for the organization. So that's just, I mean, you cannot thank the Blackhawks enough for what they do for the community. No. I think there's no question
about
it.
They're nothing but class.
Can I
say that?
Can I keep you here for just a moment? Because I want to ask you about the status of America here,
sure.
If that's all right. Phil Klein is with us, the former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. And again, it's Get Behind the Vest. This is one of the, to me, it's just one of those things that is a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. It's one of those kinds of things that when you think about, you know, where you want to, if you've got some charitable money that you want to spend and you see what's going on in America and you see what's going on in Chicago and you want to help the people who are trying to help, you know, 99.9% of the time trying to help you, there is no better way to give back than getbehindthevest.org. And any dollar amount is good there. You just go right to that website and it takes you there. We'll be back with Phil Klein. But first, Violetta Powder Medics are the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Hey, Cubs fans, grab a copy of the Chicago Tribune at Jewel Osco this Sunday. Collect your 2016 Chicago Cubs Fathead stickers. This week's sticker has a special offer from Gilbert's Craft Sausages.
Phil Klein is with us. He is the former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, now the executive director of the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, which does great work. It built the beautiful Gold Star Memorial Park, which is just east of Soldier Field. If you have not gone there, if you're on the museum campus or you just want a beautiful day on the lakefront, you should stop by there. And you cannot miss it because it's directly east, just toward the lake, on the other side of that little street right there. What is it, McFetridge? What is the street? I think. What's the name of that?
Museum Campus Drive.
Museum Campus Drive. That's what I thought. And then you walk right across that, and then you go. It's a beautiful memorial.
It is gorgeous.
And a little walking path. It's something. And Phil had this idea a number of years ago, while you were still superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, because Chicago didn't have a memorial. A lot of cities do police and fire memorials, and we didn't. And that was
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I had gone to New York, Boston, L.A. Every one of them had a public memorial. Police officers killed in line of duty. Ours didn't. Asked the Gold Star families, they were all for it, and the rest is history.
Yeah. And $7.7 million has been let. And in the Mission Beyond the Memorial, once a memorial was built, Phil turned the attention of this organization toward helping the family members of those killed in action as Chicago police officers, but also catastrophically injured, too. Right. So that's been and unfortunately, I mean, there fortunately and unfortunately, that has the you know, there's when these incidents are occurring, thanks to the very fine work of the Chicago Fire Department. I know that you're intimate with them as well, your family. Between your dad, who was a firefighter, right, and you, and now and your son, right?
It's policeman, yes.
Yes. You have, I think, something like almost a century's worth of service to the city of Chicago in your family.
Yes.
Three generations. That's pretty amazing.
It is.
And, but thanks to the fine work of the Chicago Fire Department, you know, thank God most, you know, police officers who are getting injured in the line of duty are their lives are saved. And that's true of the citizens, too, right? Even some of the bad guys. I mean, the murder rate would be a lot worse than it is. I mean, you know, you've had thousands of people shot in Chicago this year, and still, you know, the mortality rate is relatively low, given the fact it's a gunshot.
Just
injury.
A story in the Tribune about a woman who was shot in the stomach, and she survived. They called it a miracle that she made it, and I don't think she was the intended target of that shooting.
What do you think? What is happening within the last year and a half, 2 years here that's made this so much worse than it had been in terms of just raw numbers of shootings? Not so much murders, and again, a lot of that has to do with medical care.
Well, a lot of it has to do with people getting arrested with guns and not getting the sentences they should. A lot of cases are dealt away. When I was superintendent, we looked at 80% of the cases where offenders should have got time in the penitentiary at a certain level. It was reduced because they pled and saved the public defender and the state's attorney the burden of a trial. And we argued against that because those are the people that need to be put away. And when they come back out, they're not going to go get a job. They're going to go back right to what they were doing. And
they're living in a separate economy, those
yes.
guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I also ask you about just police policy in general? We're seeing Bill Bratton stepping down as commissioner of NYPD today. That made news. He was considered one of the architects of the broken windows philosophy of policing, where you go after the broken windows and you foster a culture of law-abiding citizenry, and you create that culture by going after the little things. But then there was this pushback saying, well, that doesn't foster good police relationships with the community. And now it seems as if that's what we're all trying to build. But how do you do that, Phil, as you look at this, what we're looking at in America right now?
The broken windows theory worked in New York. I mean,
It totally did.
They had over 2,000 murders and dropped it down to 400. And we did a thing here called intelligence-led policing, where we gave the cops on the beat, here's who the bad guys are, here's the cars they're driving, here's the license plates on those cars. And we used a lot of special units to go around at the hot spots in the city. And we had tremendous success. We reduced homicides by 25% from 600 to 448, and we reduced shootings by 40%. So would that work today? I don't know. I think Eddie Johnson and the department are doing the best they can, and they're down 1,500 cops from when I was superintendent, so that's another thing that's going against them. And
that makes
tough.
A difference.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Now, they have this, this is interesting, this is the first time I've heard this term. Maybe it was a term of practice in policing for a long time. But the strategic subject list is something that Eddie Johnson has been talking about, where there are about 1,500 individuals in Chicago that are known to the police department as bad actors, for lack of a better term, and guys that they and men and some women that they want to keep an eye on, but they can't necessarily. But I guess this is really my question: is what is it if you end up on the SSL? What does that mean? I mean, what is that in terms of real policing?
Okay, according to an algorithm, the computer is saying that you're most likely to be an offender or be a victim of violent crime.
Right.
And that's those 1,500 people that are on that list, that's how it's done.
But what can police do about that? I mean, they can they sit outside those people's homes? Is that legal? I mean, what goes on there?
Well, I know they pay visits to people. They broke down the names by the 22 districts, and they go out there and interview them and try and offer them alternatives to the thug life. But whether they take it or not, the police have no control over that.
That is it's an interesting moment here because there's so much. And let's talk a little bit about the way this has turned on police, right? Because of body cams and other security cameras, people are now seeing what is often the last few minutes of or few seconds of a confrontation and not all the things that led up to it. And there has also been some bad information about confrontations, right, that were not on video. And it's a very bad year to be doing marketing for police departments, right?
Sure. I mean, a lot of this goes back to the Ferguson theory where they said the offender had his hands up saying, don't shoot. And after a prosecutor's investigation, a federal investigation, that never occurred. But yet that became the mantra across the country, hands up, don't shoot, that the offender tried to surrender to the police, when we know that DNA showed that there was a transference between the fight for the officer's gun. So a lot of times people don't want to wait and hear what the facts are. They want to hear what they have.
Right. Mm-hmm. They want to hear what they want to hear. That's for sure. And in Chicago, you obviously Eddie Johnson was you know him.
He was
on when you left for 38 years on the
37,
job.
37, yeah.
37 years on the job when you left. And he's been there over 30 years, I believe. Is there light at the end of this tunnel for the Chicago Police Department, do you think?
I think so. And I think once we get through the other side of this Justice Department review and everything like that, there's going to be more training and more equipment that's going to come through. That's what happened in other cities. Mm-hmm. And that'll all benefit the police department.
We have a robot. Do we have a robot?
Yes.
We do?
Yeah, I can tell you a story. We, at Navy Pier, when I was the superintendent, we were going to demonstrate the robot, and he couldn't make it up the thing, and the mayor was just
whoops,
not happy,
epileptic, yes,
epileptic, good word. I can sort of picture that in my head right now.
He was not happy at all.
Somebody paid for that.
All right, I guess. Well, you know, they are new and improved now because they seem to be they're using them in a few different cases, and they seem to be working out okay, right?
For the police department. I think drones are going to be the next big thing you're going to see by a lot of police departments are going to start using them.
Yeah. Well, the technology really is fascinating.
Yes.
What's available. And now what the feds have and what local police mm-hmm. departments have, it's pretty great. All right.
Transforms the whole police work, I would think.
Once again, it's the debut of the new Get Behind the Vest commercial starring Corey Crawford, our beloved Chicago Blackhawk, Corey Crawford. And we want to thank Wintrust again. I want to thank Matt Doubleday, the marketing director, and Ed Wehmer, who runs the whole joint at Wintrust, for volunteering so much money, giving so much money in airtime to the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation to run this commercial, essentially, through the Olympics. And it's just a lot of fun. And if you want to say thank you to police in a real and constructive way, to the Chicago Police Department, getbehindthevest.org. Every dollar is going to go to buy a police officer a bulletproof vest. Getbehindthevest.org. Phil, thanks very much for being
with
us.
Phil.
Thank you very much. And to your listeners, we'll take $1 to $5,000 on that. I mean, in other words, every little bit helps to get the cops vest because they're protecting you out there.
Thanks, Phil.
Great way to help.
Thank you.